Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Lady listeners.
Are you trying to surprise them?
Yeah.
I thought about saying it before her, but I was like, why is anybody talking yet?
I'm just trying to say it differently every time to just keep you on your toes. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Read Me Romance.
It's Are you going to leave that bit about my dog in the pantry? I heard you say leave that in. Are you going to leave that in?
Don't leave that in. Leah had to go, well, should we say that or is that animal cruelty?
I mean, it's a huge pantry. She's in her cage, okay. Like in a kennel. I just moved her like kennel inside the pantry and
Leah,
put a blanket over the
Leah
top
has
of
a
it.
New puppy that is barking and it was showing up mm-hmm. on the audio. So we had to stow her somewhere.
I mean, it was that or a shock collar. So I feel like this is the lesser of two evils. But I was thinking about
I would hang out in Leah's pantry all day.
Yeah, there's a lot of food. There's cases of Girl Scout cookies. We need to do a giveaway with Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah,
so people don't have to buy them, but I got to get rid of them.
Okay.
So I was thinking
Every
about
entry
it, though.
Is just me. It's just me entering over and over again.
I'm going to send you some.
Like,
anyways.
I can't get them.
No, I was thinking about, you know, like my dog's in the pantry. I was thinking about, do you remember like back in the 80s, they used to have the after the I can't remember the TV show, but it was Sit, Boo Boo, Sit. Good
yes.
dog. Roof. Do you remember that?
That was like
Was it Family Ties or no?
No, it's basically.
Growing Pains?
Like the production company that it would be like in between shows. And I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember. Maybe it was like I can't remember if it was TGIF, like the lineup on there.
It could be.
But yeah, whatever it was. Maybe it was, I feel like it was Growing Pains-ish era, but I don't know. But yeah, maybe we'll just say that at the end instead of like, fuck your day up. We'll just say my dog's in the pantry.
Okay, new
that
catchphrase.
That just feels more. Yeah, that feels more real.
Fuck
Can
your
someone
day
put
make today your bitch? Don't be a dick. My dog's in the pantry.
Can someone put that on a T-shirt for me? Like I've requested a lot of T-shirts and nobody's come through yet.
Where's
so.
Your loyalty?
You're getting a shirt today from me.
Uh oh.
What no, I know say? You're not talking to me because I'm never getting one again.
After you talked about how hideous it was and then said you're going to go walk.
No, I can't remember. You'll just have to wait and see. I think it comes today. I mailed it the other day.
Oh, God.
Because I ordered a couple shirts for people and I accidentally sent them to myself. So I had to go to the post office.
Well, I'm excited now. I'm going to get a present. Is it coming to the P.O. box? Because they're in shit coming to that.
No, like, it's coming to your house. I got you a... Okay. Leah, just as everybody knows, just moved into her new place. I got her a housewarming gift and I put this shirt in there. I've had it for like a week, but I was waiting for the bunny stuff to show up.
Oh my God. Well, and you know, this is the greatest part of you know, becoming spring is that it's about to be Easter. So there's bunny stuff everywhere. I went into TJ Maxx the other day and I was like, my people. And it was like this whole section of bunny stuff.
I do that with Michael's because they change their, like, displays depending on whatever holiday is coming up. And I go to Michael's and I'm just like, oh, look at the sign that says egg hunting. Like, I'm just so in love with it. And I'll buy it and I'll put it out for one season. Then I'll be like, I don't have any, like, Easter stuff. I'll forget it never existed. I don't know why.
Yeah. Or it's like, you buy, like, one thing and you're like, how am I supposed to decorate with this? Like, do I really want to commit to seasonal decorating?
Yeah, you got to go 100% or nothing at all.
Aurora Rose does it. I remember seeing her post on Facebook about Valentine's. She had, first of all, she had painted her front door Barbie pink. It was gorgeous. And then her HOA made her paint it a different color.
I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah, she
Wait,
was like.
She painted it pink?
Yeah, it was Barbie pink. It was beautiful.
You know what? I could do that.
Absolutely.
My husband wouldn't even give a shit. He'd be like, whatever.
Mine's red right now, but I got to strip it off.
I want a red door. That's
pretty.
A symbol of prosperity.
Yeah, but it also in feng shui, it depends on what direction your house faces. So mine's south that it faces right now. So I'm supposed to have either natural wood or I'm supposed to have like a dark green or a dark blue, like a dark color. And so I'm just going to strip it to natural. I mean, red is really, is for good luck, I guess, but I don't like the color red.
I face west. What does that mean?
You'd have to look it up. There's different colors for each direction.
Mine are I have black doors. Do not come here.
I mean, you never know. Like, and that might be like your color though. You know, it just depends on which way your feng shui, like your house faces.
I have no idea what direction my house faces at all.
I'm going to have to look it up now. Okay. If you're listening to this, go Google like house color door for feng shui or whatever.
If you're just joining us, this is your first week listening to this podcast. This is Read Me Romance. We are here, gathered here today for Switch Bitter by Sarah Nye. And I'm really excited about this one. I loved it. And if you don't know how this works, we release a new audiobook every week. We put a new section out every day, Monday through Friday. And then like Friday is the happily ever after. So yeah, we basically release it in 5 sections. And today we're going to play after... quite a bit of talking. We're going to play the first section. There'll be less talking throughout the week, but Mondays and Fridays, we kind of have a little chit chat, a little girly chat.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we're going to, okay. So like, let me talk to you a little bit about Sarah Nye. She is awesome. She's a USA Today bestseller. She writes the How to Date a Douchebag series and the Jock Hard series. Jock Rule is out now. It's got a giant dirty Sasquatch as the hero, and I know everybody in this that listens to this podcast is on board with that, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, we're loving it.
So you definitely want to check her out. She writes really awesome sports romance and also just like really authentic frat like sorority like that scene, which
I like that.
I don't know anything, like I didn't go to like the kind of college where there's like a campus and you live there and all that stuff. I didn't do that.
Well, I was going to say, you did a pretty good job of it in Halfway Girl, like in the beginning with the frat party and stuff. I thought that was really good.
Oh, thanks.
For never having experienced it, you did well.
Well, I've been to a lot of house parties.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I did. Yeah. I feel like I was able to kind of interpret it that way. And also, I just watched like all those movies in the 90s, like She's All That. And I feel like I knew.
I forgot about that movie. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr., Rachel Lee Cook, right? Mm-hmm.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Was she in that?
No, she wasn't in that one.
No,
but I was just thinking about actresses at that time that would have like done those movies.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Can't hardly wait.
What is the one where she's in 10 Things I Hate About You? Just Jennifer. Is it Styles? What's it?
Yes,
Julia Styles.
Julia Styles.
And Heath Ledger.
What happened to her? Oh my God. What was the movie that she's in with the dance one? Save the Last Dance. Oh my God.
Amazing.
That's so cute. Yes.
I can still see that scene like of them dancing with the umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a chair?
It's a chair.
It definitely had a prop.
She has an umbrella. At one point, she has an umbrella and it's raining and they're outside together, but the chairs.
The chair. Love that movie. Yeah, I loved all those 90s movies so much. I want to go back to that time and just like...
The time of innocence.
Julia Stiles lives in New York City and she rides the subway and she's like kind of an academic. So I think she does like a lot of, like she just goes to school. And I think, and I mean.
Does she still go to school? Isn't she in her 40s now?
You know what? I'm totally coming at this from a place where like I read that information 15 years ago and still think it's true. But she, you know, she was in the Bourne movies. That's all. I think that's all she's done lately.
That's right.
She played like the like covert secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm glad you guys are here for this. I'm here to take notes on all these great movies.
So what'd you guys do this week? Anything exciting happen to you? Guy Warren came over to my house last night and I'm super hungover.
Is this your chance to brag? Like, you didn't even give us a second. Yeah.
I know. She just kept
like,
talking.
What'd you guys do? Scott Warren came to my house. Tell us about it. Tell us all about it. How was she?
Well, Facebook.
Did she talk about me?
Yeah, we talked about you exclusively.
Okay, good.
For the full 2 hours. No,
I knew it.
Facebook was down yesterday and Instagram was down yesterday. Which
oh my
was
God.
Like,
what did we do with all our time?
It was so unnerving because, like, you don't realize how disconnected you feel without those things until they're gone. And I feel like I'm talking about a tragedy. Like, you don't really understand. Like,
I think I text you guys. I thought my phone was broken. I was like, my phone's broke.
Yeah, I was just like, Mel's internet sucks. And then like 10 minutes later, I was like, oh my God. Like,
my internet sucks.
I live in civilization and my stuff's not working.
So what did you talk about with Sky besides me about how pretty I am? What else did she say?
Well, she did my Facebook Live with me, which...
Oh, no way.
Yeah, we did a Facebook Live where I read the first chapter of one of my upcoming books and Fix Her Up. And she, like, was just sitting next to me, like, reacting in real time.
That's so fun. And do you know, so my parents came over this weekend. Like, they came up to see me, and my mom was helping me paint upstairs. And at one point, we were talking about the podcast, and she was like, you know, she said, and I swear to God, she said, Tessa has the great, she said, she has a great voice. She should narrate her own books. Like, she said that to me this weekend. She just said it. And I was like, you think? I was like, I think she has that. She said, in the way, she was like, her inflections are always so clear and concise. And I was like, I thought so, too. I love to hear, like,
really?
The sound of your voice. Yeah. And my mom said it. She was like, she should really narrate her own books.
Oh, my God. I love your mom. I've always said that. She's a very smart lady. I've always said that.
Mm-hmm. I know. She's a lot of fun.
She is cool, and she dances like a diva.
She's a good time. That's right. I forgot you met her when we
I met her. Yeah, I met her at Shameless, the first Shameless or the second Shameless. That's where we took the greatest picture of your life.
Oh my God, I was back to my birth weight. You said, when you saw the picture, you were like, it's stunning. You're at your birth weight. It's stunning. Just don't touch it. Just post it. Just like that, post it.
Something about the lighting in that party just really,
it was,
I mean,
so good.
It should be your author headshot if you ever go out on your own. Or you can just superimpose Mel into it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So because this is a, okay, so I also, oh wait, what did you do this week, Mel? You went to New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I went out and hung out with a girlfriend for the weekend.
Jeanette, right?
Yep.
Our girl Jeanette. Your girl Jeanette.
We try to hang out. We said we're gonna start doing it like every 2 months. I'll go there, she'll come here. So we just hung out. We went and got massages and ate room service. And I ate till I thought I was going to throw up.
What did you eat? Describe it in detail.
We got a bunch of appetizers for dinner, but then I don't know why we were so hungry. We ended up ordering that insomnia cookies. I got, they delivered cookies whenever, like for insomnias, I guess, people who are up all night. So they just delivered all these cookies. And I got like one of those sandwich cookies where it's two cookies with like a huge thing of icing in between. I ate the whole thing. I thought I was gonna throw up, but I didn't care. I just kept eating. Oh,
I've had that happen to me one time. I was in London and I got a hot churro filled with chocolate sauce. Like, they piped chocolate sauce down into the churro and I ate it. It was like 2 feet long. And I ate that whole thing, and I swear to God, I was sick for 2 days. But it was worth every second.
I was eating. I was like, I'm going to be sick, but I'm finishing this cookie. I've come this far.
Don't stop me now.
Well, like, the insomnia cookies, they deliver until, like, 5 in the morning or something. Like, that's their whole thing, is they don't open up till late, and they're open all night.
I don't know what was wrong. We ordered, like, six things for the table, and then when we were done eating, I was like, I could still eat.
What an ideal job. Like, if you were a delivery person, a cookie delivery person, like, if you sell weed, you need to get that job, because you're just killing two birds with one stone.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I think. They're a front for, like, weed deliverers.
They have to be. They're
You're like, can I get a Dom and get a bag of cookies?
17 cookies.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so the hero in this book is a baseball player, and I want to know if you guys have any sports books recommendations, because that's our theme this week, sports.
Jocks. Go sports. Yay.
Go sports. Go teams.
I don't think I read a lot of sports romance, actually.
Well, I was going to say, we wrote one, didn't we? The Double the Ache. That was the Minaj one with the football players.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I like it. I really love football. Like, football is my thing. So I don't know why. Writing about it feels weird.
Yeah, maybe because you want it to be perfect or, like, you
see it. It's hard. It seems hard to write about it.
I like the Jen Frederick series. She's got the Gridiron series. That's the football books that I like. The first one in that is Sacked. And I think it's – is it Kindle Unlimited?
Yes.
I can't remember if that series is. But, yeah. So those books are really good. I mean, never mind that one of them's dedicated to me, obviously. But no, those are really good. And then Alessandra Torre has her Moonshot. That's the baseball book. And then I was trying to think of what else. Like, I know there's more that I've read that I like.
I remember liking one by that Lynn Vale. I think that's her name.
Lanny Lynn Vale.
Yeah, she had a baseball series, and I remember reading the first one. I think it was called Pitch Please, and that one was really good.
I love that title. That's amazing.
Pitch Please.
I know there's more. I'm not that clever. Like, damn it, I wasn't prepared for this.
So the sports hero that I'm most attracted to, like body type wise and like personality type wise, is hockey players. I really like hockey players. I think they're just like. Just big modern day Scottish lairds. I don't know. And they're just like, they have like the greatest personalities. Like they're just really, they just seem to be down to earth. They don't seem to be cocky. Well, maybe they are cocky, but you know, like they're always tossing pucks to kids and stuff. I don't know. I like them. I don't know the first damn thing about like the rules of hockey. I like the way they look and the like the pants.
Obviously.
Make their butts look big. Like a big butt.
I was going to say, like, have you written a hockey book?
No, I did write a hockey book, but it never got published. But I have read Tony Leo's hockey series.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, she writes really.
She's got a long one.
Yeah.
One with several books, right?
Yeah, it's got several books and they have really hot covers. Mm-hmm. Super hot covers. A-L-E-O is how you spell her last name. T-O-N-I-A-L-E-O. And then Helena Hunting also has a really good hockey series, like Pucked Up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pucked, I think, maybe? Is it just called Pucked?
I think the first one's Pucked, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There was another, like, is it J.C. Burton?
Yes.
She has a football series.
She has lots of sports books. I was just looking it up before we started recording.
Oh, yeah. So that first one in that is like Played or something or Player. I can't remember. But it's that super hot cover where the guy's shirtless and he's leaning back against the wall and he's holding the football. God, that one's really hot.
Hot, perfect lighting on those the little divots of his abs. You're like, wow.
Why doesn't anybody write a bowling book? That's what I want to know. Can we write that? Can we write a sexy bowling book? Because all I can think about is the movie Kingpin. Do you remember that one with Woody Harrelson?
Yes. Oh, that movie at the beginning. Oh.
It's so good. I love the part where he's like with his landlord.
Yeah.
And he's like having to fuck her for the rent money or whatever. And she's like so gross. And she's laying there smoking afterwards and he's in the bathroom throwing up. And she was like, oh, I need to take a shit. She's like, or something like, there's nothing like a good fuck to make you have to shit. And like, it just like, I remember watching this when I was probably a little younger than I should have been watching it. And I remember watching it thinking like, is that what happens after sex?
You have to take a shit. You have to take a serious dump afterwards.
Yeah. And then she was like, get ready, buddy. Next month's rent's due. And she like puts her fingers like, you know, on either side of her mouth and like sticks her tongue out. And I feel like that emotionally scarred me for oral sex forever. Because she was just like so disgusting. But again, I mean, maybe write that bowling book if you've got that in your heart, guys.
I had a friend when I was younger who bowled a 300 when she was 12. And
is that like a perfect score?
That's a perfect game. It's holy like 13 shit. Strikes or something. She was on the news and everything. So I was friends with her for many years. So like I spent a lot of time in bowling alleys. They have great food.
Do they have like dirty old men who sit around and smoke and watch you? See, like now it's a book.
You can't smoke now. You can't smoke in bowling alleys in New York. I don't. But there is like a specific brand of dude that bowls. Like they're you'd have to like really immerse yourself in that world to do.
They're like big bellies. Hairy,
well, I don't know. Like they're
mustaches.
Well, they spend a lot of time indoors, so
yeah.
So maybe pale. Maybe not tan.
Uh huh. I see. I'm envisioning like what are the glasses that change when you go indoors and outdoors?
Transitions.
A lot of translucent lenses is what I'm picturing. So maybe there's a hint of a transition because the lights are so bright in there. There's a hint of transition. There's a very thick mustache on.
This episode is brought to you by Transitions Lenses, the number one choice of bowlers in America.
Like, I'm also wondering, too, is there, like, you know how they have the groupies and stuff that go around and follow rock stars? I wonder if there's, like, bowling bunnies. You know, there is women who follow them around and do this.
I bet they have also, great pins.
I'm not talking shit right now. I am really interested in this. So if you're a bowling bunny or your man is into bowling, send us the story of how this works. readmeromance@gmail.com. Send it in. I want to read it out loud. Okay.
Yeah. Like, what's the world? Stories. Like, what's the world of bowling like? Like, is
it's
it
so mysterious?
Is it cutthroat? Is there like a lot of drama and
is there like is there hookups? Drugs? Are they doing cocaine in the back? Like, is there? Yeah. Are you hooking up? And where they shine the shoes? Like, you know, give me the deets. Like, are you back there fucking while, you know, behind where the pin goes? Like, what's back there? You
know, the pin's back there.
Who is back? I see people back there sometimes. Like, what if you just saw like bare ankles and like another pair of feet on either side of them, and like they were both like moving? If you saw that when you were bowling, this story is writing itself, people.
And then he just yells, "Strike!"
Gutter ball.
And she's like, more like a spare.
Aww.
No, sorry. Bad bowling
humor. Now
you've
ruined it. Yeah. Now you've ruined it.
That was great. That was great. I have no way to go to segue from that into anything
else. Gonna say, did you have any more sports romances now that I took over your conversation on that? I'm so sorry.
Like, have I written any personally?
Yeah.
I wrote one called Too Close to Call about a college football player who got drafted. He got drafted by a professional team, but he refuses to leave his hometown unless his sweetheart comes with him. So he's got to convince her. It's a, aww, yeah, it's a novella. She,
you said
like,
you had one you didn't publish.
Oh, yeah, I had one I didn't publish. It was the first one, first romance, maybe second romance I ever wrote. And he's a hockey player and kind of like he's been injured and he's kind of down and out. And he's got to make a comeback, but he needs an assistant to help him, like, get his life together. So he hires an assistant, but she's, like, a woman on the run. Like, she witnessed a murder. It's totally implausible because, like, how could she...
You know you're talking to Alexa Riley, right?
But how can she be an assistant totally to a professional athlete? Because she's going to end up on TV. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God.
Probably why it didn't get published.
No, you should definitely publish this. I love it. This sounds ridiculous and over the top, so it's
his name was Aiden, and I just remember that they, she has, like, a party for his team to, like, help boost morale for him, and there's, like, a ice skating rink in his backyard, and she falls through the ice, and he rescues her, and then he brings her into his house, into the hot tub to, like, warm her up, and then they do it in the hot tub, and I remember, I think that was, like, one of the first sex scenes I wrote, and it was, like, I still think about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, you definitely should publish
that. You should publish it.
I don't know. I submitted it to Entangled. They never got back to me. And then like 3 months later, somebody at Entangled got back to me about Protecting What's His, which actually got published. And I was like, oh, but somebody still has my other book. And they were like, ah, just don't worry about it. We'll just focus on the cops. And I was like, okay.
See,
meanwhile, sports romance blows up like two minutes later. I was like, oh, yeah. Missed opportunities.
Let's bring it back. That's what we're doing right now with this story.
Yeah.
So tell me about Sarah Knott. Do you know her? I don't think I've ever met her.
I met her one time at Indies Invade Philly last year. And I had emailed her previously about the podcast. And she was like, oh my God, I love this idea. I totally want to do it. Mm-hmm. So then I went up to her and I was like, hey, just like confirming. And she was like, oh, she's like, do you have anything left? And I said, oh, yeah, like, we totally have a spot for you. And she's like, no, I mean, like, are you still selling books at your table?
Oh,
and it was, like, that awkward thing where I was like, ah, shit, I'm so awkward.
Like, once again, what in my mouth.
Yeah, constantly. But she's, like, incredibly sweet and really funny. She's got a great sense of humor, and it comes across in her books. Like, her books are really funny. And one thing she writes that I love is confused men. I love confused men. Like,
tell me how... But how confused? Like, I don't understand what you
like,
mean.
They're just confused by the woman's behavior. And, like, they have the greatest of intentions. Okay. But they're like, maybe she likes me or maybe I'm freaking her out. Like, and yeah. Or, like, they're like, I don't know why I have this weird feeling in my chest whenever she's around. Like, you know,
I
like, confused
that.
Men. I love when men
love
are like that.
When they, like, they don't understand why they feel the way
yes.
they do. Like, why am I
yeah.
so mad right now?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
what is this coming from? Yeah.
She writes that really well. And her heroines are, like, people you want to be friends with, which is a huge bonus for me. I love heroines that I want to, like, hang out with, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Did you have any experiences with, like, jocks in high school or college or anything like that that you that like stand out to you in your memory?
A couple.
I think I dated one guy on the football team. And when I kissed him, it tasted like beef jerky. So. And not in a good way. And so I was like, nah.
Is there a good
not way in a good way?
Like beef jerky's good.
Oh, gross. No way.
I like
I can't imagine. That would scar me. I mean, I don't really like beef jerky anyways, but that would definitely put me off of it. Oh, my gosh.
That's all I
now
got.
I'm really upset by that.
I was at a house party my sophomore year of high school, and there was a football player named Sean, and he was like the probably one of the most like I don't know like popular football players like in the area, like the San Diego area. He was very good. Like he was the kind of guy like he'd score two or three touchdowns a game. He was like being recruited by college people.
Yeah.
College people. And he had this giant butt. And I
what?
Jesus had like this giant butt. Like everybody talked about it. He knew it. Everybody knew it. I got really drunk and asked him if I could touch it.
Did he let you?
Yeah, he was drunk too, so he was like, like, go for it.
Well, I was gonna say, didn't you write a hero that had a big butt and was like insecure about it? Was it based off of Sean?
I mean, I think a lot is based off of Sean. It goes on in my head. Yeah, in Getaway Girl, the hero is the mayor of Charleston, and like the media is obsessed with his giant posterior. Like he can't go jogging in public because they take pictures of it like jiggling.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
Yeah, and so then the heroine, like, she like, is into it, and she, like, I think this is the first time I've ever had a heroine, like, lick up the center of a guy's butt in a book.
Hey,
yeah,
that's okay.
And, like,
there's
bite
no
it.
Judgment. That's yeah. awesome. So what happened with Sean? Now I gotta know, like, after the butt touch, did anything else happen?
No, he did probably didn't remember, you know, but he was a really nice guy. I think he went to... I think he ended up getting recruited by, like, Iowa, like, one of those places.
Iowa.
Yeah, he played college and
football.
They have a
pretty good football team, so.
They do. What about you? I want to hear about your pickup lines, too. Did any of those pickup lines?
We did them last week when we did the in-between days. And also, we didn't do ads last week. I meant to tell you that. Like, at one point, we were trying to come up with, like, our midweek ads. And it was just like, let's not do them. I'm like, okay. So we totally quit. Yeah.
You don't have to do them.
Oh, we quit. And we were like, this is tough.
We already quit. We're not asking for our mission.
We couldn't do it. I was just like, you know, I can't come up with any more. Fuck this shit. Fuck Tessa and her cute ideas. So, yeah, we did pick up lines last week. So you just have to wait and listen to them.
Okay.
Whenever
right.
Cara
D week
is.
Cara D's week is good. We've got writing advice. We've got daddy talk. We've got pickup lines. So
I know. It's intense. So, you know.
Or it was good, rather.
It was. It was okay. But you'll have to listen in. So, no, like, I went out with a football player for a little while. And he was really big. And, you know, you talked about him having a big butt. That's actually something that, like, coaches will say. They'll say, like, a player, like, oh, he's got butt, like, meaning, like, he has a good stance. Or, like, he's, like, powerful from the waist down. And so, like, player that I dated, he was in college. And he had gotten a full ride. He was actually, so funny enough, he had two other brothers and all three of them got full rides to the same college because the college knew that they got the older brother first and they knew he had two younger brothers. So they were watching out for them. So when the brothers grew up, they were like, hey, we want you here. Like they pretty much just like groomed them to come to this college. And all three of them set records in our county for birth weights. So, like, that's how big these guys were. Like, they were three brothers. They were ginormous. And, like, that his mom, like, did that they had the record in the county we were in for, like, how big these boys
I love
were.
That you live in a place where they keep track of birth weights.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, if you set a record, I mean, you have a 13-pound baby. Like,
oh
that somebody's going to be like, hey, guess what? You know, so... But anyway, so, like, we dated for a while, and he was, like, the center or whatever, so he was a really big dude. And, but he was really nice, and we had a good time, but, you know, we were young, and he was, like, in college, and I would have had to, like, drive and see him, and I was like, this isn't gonna work out.
Yeah.
So, But I mean, I had a good experience with it, I guess. I always liked football players, but I don't know that I've dated anybody that played any different sports. Like, I was trying to think about it, and I was like, I can't recall now. So now, I don't know. I also wanted to say, we were talking about, I was listening to your ads today, this morning, when you did them for, what was 2 weeks ago? Who were we recording for?
Melanie Moreland.
Yeah, that's who's playing this week, in real time. One of the things that you said, you read a story about a girl who had gotten together with her husband. It was a listener. And so she had gotten together with her husband, and they had gotten a divorce, and they got back together. And I was listening to it this morning. I was like, oh, I need to remember to tell Tessa about that. So my mom is one of six kids, and there was three boys and three girls. All three of them married, divorced their wife, remarried the wife.
Get out of here.
Swear to God. So like when you were telling that story, I was like, oh my God, I don't think I've ever told Tessa about that. So yeah, so the oldest one like got married really young and married the woman, got a divorce, married another woman. Married for a while, got a divorce, got back together with the first wife. The second one, same thing. Got married. They were kind of young. They were married for a while, got divorced. He married somebody else. I don't think she did. And then, but they weren't married very long, a couple years. He was married to a second wife. Divorced her, got back together with his first wife, got married. They're still together, like 20-some years they've been together since then. Third son, same thing. It was like, married the first wife, then they got divorced. He never married anybody else, neither did she. They were like, they basically got divorced and like never broke up. And so then they just like, and then turns out like she got pregnant while they were quote unquote divorced. And so then they got married again. And so like,
do you think they were just calling each other's bluff? They're like, I'm gonna divorce you. Go ahead, do it.
Do it.
Like just being stubborn, like right up to the very last minute and being like, you sign it. I'm gonna sign it. You sign it.
Yeah. Aha, I did it. Now what? Oh shit, we're divorced. Fuck. Let's do this again.
Yeah. Oh shit. Now we gotta like really be divorced. Okay.
But I remember one time we were at the beach and one of my uncles was there and he was with his wife, you know, the wife he had divorced and then remarried because she was pregnant. And they had been together like the second time they were together for like 20 something years. And they were there and he was like, the waitress said something about they had two kids and there were 10 years between the kids or more. And so the kids were sitting there and the waitress was like, oh, you know, something about like, you know, the kids' age differences, just making a joke. And then my uncle was just like, well, I like my second wife a hell of a lot more than I like my first one. And it was the same person, but the waitress just stood there like, oh my God, you just said that to her, like in front of these kids. Like she was so shocked. But I mean, I just thought that was interesting that all three of these men had just happened to do this. I was like, what is in the water, you know?
That is crazy. Insane. And I wonder if, like, they just kind of gave each other permission to do what they really wanted to do. Like, oh, my brother did it, and I want to get back with my first wife, so it's not that crazy because my brother did it.
Yeah, it's not unheard of. Yeah. They're like, oh, it just sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny to me, too. And I was old enough that the uncle who's the youngest out of all six of them, I went to his wedding, his second wedding to his first wife. Like, I went to that because I was sitting there like, wait a minute, they're not still together? Like, I was so confused when I was younger because I was like, I've never known them not to be together. Why are they getting married again? This is weird. Why are we in somebody's living room doing this?
So they made people come and give them a gift, a second gift.
Oh, yeah. It was like a legitimate wedding. Like, she had on a wedding dress and they were playing the Bryan Adams songs, the Everything I Do, that one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, so that happened.
I still love that song. That song reminds me of ice skating, because for some reason, when we used to go ice skating as kids, they would play that song on a loop. Or that was either that one or that song, Save the Best for Last, by, like, Vanessa Williams. Those two songs, they would just play, like, back to back to back while we ice skated.
So Lydia's birthday, my oldest daughter, her birthday is this weekend, and we're having a skate party. And I'm actually pretty jazzed about it because, you know,
a roller skating party?
Oh, girl, I'm about to dust off my skates and get out there, bring the roof down.
Okay, has she practiced?
She doesn't. She has, like, the kiddie skates.
Mm-hmm.
So she likes those.
Okay, because I had a roller skating party for my daughter last year,
yeah,
and she hated it because she'd never done it before. She got out there, she fell one time on the first lap, and she was like, I'm not getting out there again. She's like, fuck you for planning this.
Yep. So we had that issue before. We went to a skating party before, and she had that problem, and we bought her the, they're like, little Tykes makes them, but you wear them over your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you just strap them on.
Oh,
and
that's
really
smart.
They're really lightweight and they're not as slick. So she liked those.
She did get to go up in the DJ booth and request a song into the microphone in front of everybody.
Oh.
And she I was like, "What song is she going to request?" Like, and she's like, "Look What You Made Me Do" by Taylor Swift." And I was like, "No!"
Why? You don't like that song?
No.
I feel like Lydia would get up there and she'd be like, can I get Juice by Lizzo? Like, she'd get some, like, ghetto-ass track up there.
We're
she'd
listening
be like,
to the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack. It's like Chance the Rapper and Post Malone. So now she's, like, really into Post Malone. And I'm like, my kid's so much cooler than me. She listens to people with face tattoos.
I can't wait for that trend to stop by the time my kids get to be 18.
Mel, what'd you do for your 9-year-old's last birthday?
We went to Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But he's really into Pokemon,
you're going
though.
To new, fabulous New Jersey.
Yeah, we go to, we Pokemon hunt out there. There's actually a group of people. He has a bunch of friends from there, too, as well.
From Pokemon hunting?
Uh-huh.
Is that still, like going majorly strong?
I do it every day. I ran off the treadmill yesterday, I think, to go run down to our library to catch one that I didn't have.
Mel, I learn something new about you every time we talk.
Well, you get, like, I used to bike, but I don't bike anymore because they give rewards for the more you walk. So I've just been doing all my exercise and running so that I can hatch his eggs and get more rewards for him. So he thinks I'm the coolest mom. Because I do
cool.
this for him. He's like, Mom, look what you got me. I'm like, I know. You're welcome.
Meanwhile, it's just really satisfying to you.
I'm excited for the people who make Pokemon are making a Harry Potter game. So, like, I've been signed up for that forever. But it's, like, it's basically the same thing, but it's a Harry Potter version where you can catch, like, trolls and, like, garden gnomes and things like that. And you have, like, different challenges you can do with spells and stuff. So that's going to be kind of exciting.
You get really into it and the kids get into it and you get out and you'll start to meet people in your community too. We're in a Facebook group and you'll meet up with the same people. Even here, and they were like, we need everybody because there's not that many of us here to go do a raid down at like City Hall or at the park.
This would be a really good side hustle for someone who delivers weed and cookies. You could do like a triple threat because like your customer base is going to be at all three of those things.
Exactly.
Ordering cookies,
say, yep.
Chasing Pokemon, and smoking weed.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Like somebody get in on that. Market that, make that your own. And then somebody write this bowling story for me.
Yeah.
I'm not shitting.
Send us bowling stories. We'd like to hear them. And if you have any puns about holes and fingers and things like that, we'll take them. Put your best polling pun as an opening to your email.
I like it.
So should we go ahead and play this first installment of Switch Bidder by Sarah Nye? This is about a girl who bids on a jock at like a charity event and then she doesn't collect. So he has to go and ask, figure out why.
Yeah.
You guys are going to love
it. Why don't
it.
You want me?
Yeah, why don't you want me? Everybody wants
me. I love
me.
This cover, too.
It's a good
it's beautiful.
Cover.
Beautiful. Yep.
All right, you guys, enjoy, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Bye.
Piper. I don't know why you're making me do this. You know I don't want to be here. Because, Piper, we have to get you out of your comfort zone. This isn't what I had in mind. I cross my arms stubbornly. What if you just take me to a Ferris wheel? I hate those. Or we could go touch snakes at the pet store. That would get me out of my comfort zone. Listen to me. My best friend grabs me by the shoulders and gives me a little shake, staring me hard in the eyes. Shit, she means business. You've been crushing on Ryder Williams for years now. This is your chance to win him. Literally. If you win him in this charity auction, he could be in our house, cleaning your floors. It doesn't get any easier than that. He's not even in the fraternity. I don't understand what he's doing in this auction. They're raising money for that state-funded reading program, you big book nerd. It's their philanthropy, and I heard they called in favors so they could raise more, all hands on deck and all that. My heart melts a little. It's so nice of him to participate when he's not even part of the organization having the fundraiser. Still, I can't afford to bid on Ryder anyway. Do you know how many girls are going to be fighting for him? All of them. It's going to be a catfight, and there's no way I'd be able to pay what someone like Bethany Wilder could pay. Oh, please. Mal rolls her eyes. Let's not over-exaggerate. He's cute, but he's not that cute. He's not going for $1,000, maybe a few hundred tops. She says it so casually, like a few hundred dollars is nothing, that my face actually gets hot. It would still cost me more money than I have, I grumble. Not that I'm going to bid on him. That's why you have me. I have plenty of cash. Don't you dare. I mean it, Mallory. I'll kill you if you do anything stupid. Seriously, I will kill her. She would do it, too. The girl has the biggest heart and the biggest checking account to go along with it. She feigns a yawn, tapping on her mouth with the palm of her dainty hand. Ye of little faith. You're right. I have no faith in you. Remember how you promised not to sign me up for the dorm's whitewater rafting trip? Then you paid for me to go without telling me? Remember that? You had fun. So? I said I didn't want you to sign me up. Sometimes your friends know what's best for you. I was terrified, Mallory. I literally thought I was going to drown. Then there was that time you created a dating profile for me and set me up on a date with that guy, Kyle. I shudder at how horrible the description of me was and at how many guys swiped right because of it. Poor Kyle. He really liked you. He didn't even know me, and he was lucky I showed up for coffee that day because Mallory had to drag me kicking and screaming after I'd found out about the online dating profile. My point is, I lecture my friend, you have to stop making promises you're not going to keep. She pats me on the arm, which does nothing to soothe my nerves. Oh, relax, would you? This is supposed to be fun, F-U-N. Do you even know what that is anymore? Not really. I've been so stressed out this semester. I haven't had time to think about having fun. I've studied every available second just to keep my grades up and stay eligible for my scholarships. I never claimed to be a brainiac, but I honestly didn't think senior year would kick my ass so hard. I like to know the fun is coming, not get ambushed with it. Well, chill out. I'm here to bid on Jackson Powers, not bamboozle you into bidding on Ryder Williams. She gestures toward the stage. Look at him up there, that beautiful, cocky bastard. I do look at him. I look at them all. Lined up on the stage are at least 30 guys, and every single one of them is cocky and beautiful, if I'm being honest. Some of them are so painfully good-looking, I have to avert my eyes. I go down the line, one at a time, searching for Ryder Williams, the guy I've had a painful crush on since freshman year. 4 awkward years. Unrequited. Obviously, because we have never even spoken. Why would we when we have nothing in common? Plus, we don't exactly circulate in the same crowds. I mean, we've been at the same parties, but it's not like our eyes have ever met across the room. It's not like he'd ever take one look at me and be overcome with desire. Ryder is an athlete, big and powerful and strong. He's an outfielder on the baseball team, and I've seen him smash into the outfield wall more times than I can count. He tends to limp away, almost always with the ball in his glove. He's huge, way bigger than I am, dark and slightly broody. You wouldn't pair us together any day of the week, and yet somehow, I can't quit the enormous crush I have on him. We had one class together as freshmen. It was economics, and he always sat in the front row. I always thought it was because he was so interested in the subject, but one day, halfway through the semester, he showed up with glasses and moved to the back. I couldn't stare at the back of his head after that. Once econ ended, we never shared the same breathing space again, unless you count the few times we were at the same off-campus house party. I don't hate parties. I'm not antisocial. I'm just not really the kind of girl guys fall for. I'm too shy and too quiet, and I blush too much at the dumbest crap. Something Mallory is always trying to change, God bless her. She's always trying to get me out of my comfort zone. The thing is, I don't think a person can wake up one morning and suddenly be outgoing. Not like her. She's balls to the wall with everything she does, going hard at school, sports, she plays volleyball, and her social life. Mallory isn't shy about anything. Not her body, not her opinion, and not the fact that she mother hens me every chance she gets. All my friends do. I don't need to be handled with kid gloves. I'm just not like them. Stop trying to hide behind me. He's not going to bite you. Right. Because he's not even looking at me. None of the guys are, though most of them are eyeing girls in the audience, no doubt making their picks for who they hope bids on and wins them. The place is packed. The fraternity rented an alumni room on campus to give more students the chance to attend. And no driving off-site means more participation. Just a longer walk if you don't live in the dorms. Which I don't. Mallory and I walked over together, along with our friends Diana and Ava, who also live in our apartment complex. Both of them are only here to spectate. They already have boyfriends. Really? I suspect most of the people crammed into the room aren't here to actually bid on these guys. They just want to witness the spectacle it's sure to become. Fraternities on our campus aren't known for their subtlety. They're known for drunken beer bashes and, yes, their philanthropies too. But some of these fundraisers they throw to raise money have been known to raise a few eyebrows. Mine go up when the master of ceremonies, a total douchebag named Chet Donovan, gag, takes his place at the podium, clears his throat, and gestures for the guys to clear the stage. One by one, they file off, disappearing behind a makeshift curtain.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today.
He does his best to sound like a preacher, failing miserably when he breaks into a laugh instead.
I kid. We're not here for a wedding, although wouldn't we all love that?
The crowd cheers, and one guy in the back shouts,
I want a virgin bride!
Oh my God.
Let's get serious for a second here, people.
Chet grips the podium for support, leaning forward.
We're here for a good cause. We, the brothers of Lambda Tau Gamma, hope you brought all the cash in your piggy banks.
He scans the crowd, his expression somber.
LTG has been raising money for literacy for over 30 years, giving more than $7 million among our 890 collegiate chapters. Think about all the books that buys, guys. Thousands upon thousands.
I mentally sigh as he drones on.
Once you've won, you're going to pay that big moron in the back with the card reader. Derek, hold up your hand and wave it around.
Everyone cranes their neck to see the guy in the back of the room.
He'll give you the contact information of your LTG member or athlete so you can put him to work. LTG is not responsible for any idiotic behavior, nor does it condone.
He continues reading a legal disclaimer, which was most likely prepared by an actual attorney.
By bidding, you agree to these terms. The money we raise today will go toward literacy programs, books, and scholarships to children across America. So bid and bid high. You're high, someone yells, and the crowd laughs. Without further ado, allow me to introduce the first fine stud, all the way from the Beta House, which, by the way, was a terrible choice. The Greeks all laugh. Brian Beloit's major is chemistry, and not the kind with test strips and beakers, if you ladies catch my drift. The crowd groans, and the bidding begins. Not long after that, I need a break.
You can't go to the bathroom now. That Kappa bitch Cameron is going to steal Ryder right out from under you.
First of all, she can't steal him away because I'm not bidding on him. She is welcome to him.
And second of all?
Secondly, I can't bear to watch, I blurt out. I wish I had your lady balls, Mal, but I don't. I just don't. I'm sorry, but I have to pee.
You do not, she hisses. You stay right where you are, you chicken shit.
My friend grabs me by the upper arm, yanking me toward her. She snatches my auction paddle out of my hands and tugs me again.
I know what's best for you. Stand here and watch what you're missing out on.
Standing here to watch Ryder Williams parade around a stage for a room full of hyped-up co-eds is not what's best for me. He's too gorgeous. Well, maybe not gorgeous as in hot, but there's something about him that makes my insides do somersaults and backflips. I want to vomit thinking about Cameron the Kappa or anyone else bidding and winning because I don't have the courage to do it myself. And that thought makes me sick too. Dramatic much? Ryder appears on stage, humbly waving at the crowd, shoulder slightly bent, head bowed almost bashfully. His white teeth flash, cheeks flush. He's wearing an Iowa baseball tee with his number on the back, jeans and a baseball cap. His fingers grip the bill and he squeezes it, then tips it toward the crowd with a smile. The girls go wild. I slip away when my friend's grip on my arm loosens. She's too riveted to the sight of the ball player on stage, working my way through the tightly packed crowd as if working my way through a maze. I get jostled, bumped, shoved once or twice. That's how many people are here, male and female. It's worse than a club downtown, packed to capacity. This event always draws a large crowd, always makes the fraternity a shit ton of money. Once I make it to the bathroom, I shove through a stall, press my back against the door, and breathe, heart racing. Why am I such a wuss? Why can't I be like my friends and just go for it? Ryder is just a boy. He's just another guy. And I'm not shy. Not really, just reserved. I'm the one member of our friend group who is always content to sit back and watch the action, to watch everyone else make asses of themselves. I still have fun, don't get me wrong. Just not the way they do. Through the rusty steel bathroom door, I can hear the crowd chanting Ryder's name. Wolf whistles and cat calls abound, and as I wash my hands under a stream of cold water, I imagine he's strutting around the stage like a peacock, while auction paddles fly up left and right, girls bidding wildly and carelessly. I look up into the mirror at my reflection, stare hard at the freckles scattered across my pert nose, lending what I've always thought was a sweet flair to my face. Bend my mouth into a sardonic line, wishing I was sexier, or sultry, or exotic. Instead, I look like one of those nice, innocent girls who are fun to talk to, but not the ones you ask on a date. In the 4 years I've been in college, no guy has ever asked me on a date. Not one. And no, I don't include the drunks at the bar, or the frat boys who hit on anything with a pulse, or without one. Because once at a party, I saw a guy so drunk he hit on the support beam coming down from the ceiling. That's the level of quality I'm dealing with. While I ponder how messed up it is that in 4 years I haven't been on a single date, I swipe some gloss across my lips and pucker. Shove it back in my purse,
noise from the auction echoing off the bathroom tiles. The crowd is fired up, chanting while Chet loudly shouts out numbers. I can hear the total climbing. $100, $120, $30. I can't hear everything he's saying, but someone must be shouting out random numbers because the bidding goes from $130 to $200. My head gives a shake, shiny lips quirking into a wry smile. Some student is out there blowing their hard-earned cash on some guy they only get to spend a few hours with. When I know it's safe to come out, confident Ryder is no longer parading around on stage, I pull open the bathroom door. It's not easy to find my friends now that the crowd is good and worked up. But our friend Celeste is tall and blonde, so it only takes a few moments of scanning over everyone's head to find her. A few more to push back through. Merry Christmas! I bought you a gift! Mallory is grinning from ear to ear as she hands me the auction paddle, slapping it in my palm. I roll my eyes. It's March. Whatever, don't be so literal. I back the conversation up. What gift? She's always doing this, buying me things. The last present she bought me is clasped around my neck, a gold necklace that says, "Bless your heart." It does the talking for me when I have nothing to say. She's had flowers delivered to me on Valentine's Day, and she got us matching pajamas last Christmas. Mallory is both the biggest brat I've ever met and the sweetest, sometimes both at the same time. The gift of love. Aw. No, seriously, I'm giving you the gift of love. Don't piss it away. I have no idea what you're talking about. And who can hear her over all this noise? This room is so ridiculously loud, the acoustics are terrible. Mallory's lips are moving, but I can't tell if any sound is coming out. Talk louder, I can barely hear you. She gets closer, bumping me with her boobs. Her mouth is so close to my ear, I can feel her lips. I said, I bought you Ryder Williams. Say what now? No, you didn't. There is no way. She couldn't have. Wouldn't have. I did, and you're welcome. Mal smiles. I didn't say thank you. Well then, thank me so we can move on and have fun. My boy is on the block soon and I want to be focused. Why? It seems like you're warmed up already. Wait, how much did you pay for Ryder? My best friend shrugs. I don't know. Mallory, how much? It's not a big deal, Pipe. It was under 200. She pauses. Okay, it was under 250. Jesus. Mallory, why would you do that? Is she insane? That's a stupid amount of money to spend on a guy I have absolutely no intention of inviting into my house for the day. Panic has officially set in. Ryder Williams will be expecting me to contact him to set up a time and date to fulfill his community service, and that is just not happening. Mallory might have won him for me, but I have no desire to follow through. And by desire, I mean guts. Desire? Yes. Guts? Not even a little bit. Relax, okay? Calm down. It will be fun. You can have him change light bulbs and mow your lawn. We don't have a lawn. He can paint the fence. We don't have a fence either. Oh my God, why are you like this? Because no way was I going to let some Kappa get her paws on your man. He's not my man. He'd have to know my name first. How many girls was it? Bidding on him? Me and four others. There was no freaking way I was backing down. I laugh at that. You were drunk with power, is that it? Hell yeah! Give a girl an auction paddle and move out of the way. That thing is dangerous. You know I'm not going to have him come to the house, right? Yeah, I figured, but I didn't want him slipping through our fingers just in case you change your mind. I won't. I don't. 2 weeks go by, and I still have that slip of paper Mallory gave me when she paid for him and used my contact information. The completed paperwork sits on my dresser, folded into thirds. Ryder Williams' cell number on a piece of blue cardstock beneath it, in his own handwriting, with his schedule of availability. Monday, wide open. Tuesday through Friday, after 3 o'clock. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, TBD, with enough advanced notice. I've looked at that sheet of paper a million times, stared at it, memorizing his number and studying his script like a forensic analyst, as if it's my job to analyze every scroll. The curve of the R in his first name, the Y with its long, dipping tail. It's a nice signature. Masculine. Once last week, I almost added him to the contacts in my phone before thinking better of it and hitting delete. No lady balls. None.
And we're back.
Hey.
What did you guys think? It was funny, right? It's funny. Like, I love the girl chatter in the beginning. Like, it's just, I love
when it starts off with girl chatter. I don't know why. Or having two girls bouncing back and forth off of each other. It gives you a good feel for
it
the heroine.
It does give you a good feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not completely alone.
Wah-wah. I thought
they're not depressed and sad. They have friends.
Have we ever talked about that? Our friend, Jen Frederick, she's like, you can't write in friends because then the friends will be like, what are you doing? He's crazy.
Yeah, they talk them out of it.
You can go to sarahnyeauthor.com and you can see all her books. Jock Rule is out now. Like I told you, it's Dirty Giant Sasquatch Hero, which, I mean, that's my crack. So, and I know it's yours because you liked Wreck-It Ralph. You guys totally got on board with Wreck-It Ralph,
yes,
in Halfway
absolutely.
Girl. How to Date a Douchebag series. It's amazing. You have to go read it. It's like, you know, it's all guys in a frat and just like frat guys with hearts of gold. So, and also Megan Quinn, who she is going to be on the podcast in season 3. She co-wrote a book with Sarah called Love Sincerely Yours. And that's a boss employee romance. That's really, really good. And I think it's on Kindle Unlimited. I have to double check on that.
Sweet. Sarah Coy. I think she is. I think her books are.
Okay, guys. We will be back tomorrow with the second installment. So, Leah, give them your new catchphrase.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. My dog's in the pantry. I don't know if that's going to catch on as quickly.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book that's fine. Are you